This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Tracy Silverman. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Tracy Silverman to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Great to see you. Great to get a chance to talk shop with you here on Musicians Spotlight. Tracy's work will be no stranger to listeners of public radio, just in general. He's sitting here across from me with an NPR t-shirt on.
Oh, yes.
Apropos for a musician who's been on Performance Today, Prairie Home Companion, Tiny Desk Concerts, and St. Paul Sunday, to name a few. Formerly a member of the popular and innovative Turtle Island Quartet, and over a dozen recordings at least that I counted. I'm sure there's probably much more than that. Currently from Nashville, well, residing in Nashville, and kind of part of the alt Nashville, if you want to call it that.
The alt classical scene.
Yeah, exactly. The first thing I was going to ask was, how does a guy from Beloit, Wisconsin get to Juilliard? But as we talked about before, when we before we started the interview, it was kind of a, you got there from Beloit by way of, or starting from New York originally.
Yeah, I'm originally from New York, well, a little bit outside New York, Peekskill. And actually, as a kid, when I was 8 and 9 years old, I was going to Juilliard pre-college. And then we moved to Beloit, Wisconsin. My dad was teaching at the college there, and I was studying in Chicago, and went to, did pre-college there, and started college there, and then switched over to Juilliard and was studying with a teacher named Ivan Galamian.
Just kind of go back to Beloit a little bit, which is a pretty formative time.
Yes, very formative. Yeah.
Talk about, you know, was that an important part of your development, do you think?
I'm sure. I still, you know, carry little traces of a Wisconsin accent, you know, if I'm around my Wisconsin buddies. It's just one of those things. Developed a real taste for cheese and you know, beer, all the important elements of Wisconsin life, and learned how to drive in snow.
Packers too, I'm sure.
You're
down with the Packers.
Exactly.
Well, one of the other quotes that stuck out to me certainly was, I entered Juilliard wanting to be Yasha Heifetz, but left wanting to be the next Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because that obviously touches on the electric violin.
Well, you know, I started playing the violin at a very early age, at about 5 years old, and just fell in love with violin concertos, you know. I guess my parents were music lovers, not really players, but supplied, you know, kept the house stocked with records, a lot of good records. My dad was a big jazz fan and a real classical music aficionado. And I remember at, probably couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old, hearing the Sibelius violin concerto. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but I was crying. It was just so beautiful to me. And I couldn't understand why, you know, why it made me feel that way. But it really made me want to play that music. For my 16th birthday, my older brother said, you know, it's time you had these records. And he gave me 3 records. One was Jimi Hendrix, Cry of Love, Frank Zappa, Hot Rats, and Jean-Luc Ponty, Imaginary Voyage or Imaginary Ocean. I can't remember now. And which really changed my life again.
I was going to say, and Tracy Silverman was born.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, what happened is, you know, I sort of realized that, well, I knew all along that as much as I loved all of these violin concertos and just the, you know, classical music in general, almost none of my friends ever heard any of that in school, you know? And I also understood that all these great composers, Mozart, you know, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, all the, you know, masterworks of classical music were written in the popular style of their day. This was not music that was hundreds of years old. It was the contemporary style. And then I saw, well, okay, Gershwin kind of did that with jazz and bringing it sort of to the concert hall. And so I dedicated myself very early on to this idea of taking my contemporary American culture, which really, as a, you know, white guy from the, you know, suburbs or middle class, whatever, was rock, you know, rock and roll and electric guitar. And all of that sort of a mixed bag, you know, and it was all good music to me. You know, I just loved the passion that I heard in Hendrix was the same passion that I heard in the Sibelius. Mm. And so I just wanted to find a way to speak to my classmates in the language that they understood, which was the sound of the electric guitar. So that's how I started, building some of the first electric violins with a guy named Mark Wood back in the early 80s, playing it with distortion and trying to make it sound like a guitar. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of been a work in progress that's been going on for the last 35 years or so for me. We'll be right back.
Tracy, you kind of touched a little bit on this with what we were talking about before, but I'm just wondering, you know, what it takes to be a musician who can truly embrace, you know, the Western classical world and popular styles and music from other parts of the world and really be true to all of them. When you play, you know, rock lines, for lack of a better word, it sounds like a musician who's steeped in that tradition. But then when you take that same instrument and you go back to the classical world in the broad sense of the term, I mean, it's obvious there's still that reverence for that as well.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I'm kind of proud of is that I'm a complete mutt musically. and I think that's where the future really lies in contemporary music. It's this real, you know, bridging of a lot of different genres and styles. You know, it's just a matter of the time and the hours and also the age. You know, I spend a lot of time playing classical music, but between, you know, the ages of 5 and 15, you know, I already almost, you know, I'm not going to say I put in the 10,000 hours, but, you know, I was practicing a lot when I was 13, 14, 15 years old. And by the time I was, you know, 16 or 17, I was, you know, hadn't mastered classical music, but I was playing all the hard concerto, Sibelius, Tchaikovsky, you name it, and was now kind of really interested in Hendrix. And so, you know, I formed rock bands, and I just spent years dealing with gear and, you know, distortion pedals and playing in rock clubs for two people, you know, and schlepping a lot of gear around, which I think is really what develops the bow arm for rock and roll. You know, I just did that for the next 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I've spent as much time in rock clubs as I have on concert stages. So I really kind of have a dual citizenship.
Well, I suppose the instrument itself has a lot to do with that as well, as you said.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back to the interview that I did prior to this a few days ago. Ironically, it was David Harrington.
Oh, yeah.
From Kronos.
I just saw him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. So in a different, very different way, obviously, they were at the forefront of.
Yeah.
But they still kept their world more towards the classical presentation,
yeah.
Whereas you have kind of found your own
Well, answer. One of the things that I really feel strongly about is finding a creative way to I don't want to say break, but to update the classical performance model, which is rather formal. And, you know, having spent a lot of time in jazz clubs and rock clubs as a performer, it's a much more casual, intimate, and I don't want to say forgiving, but there's a tolerance for experimentation and exploration, which to me is critical. It's absolutely critical that a musician is able to have not just a private space to do that in his practice room, but to get in front of people and try stuff, improvising and exploring music in a way that you can only do on stage, in a way that you can only do with an audience giving you feedback. Like, I like that. Okay, so I'll do more of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get that in your practice room.
Yeah.
And that, I think in a way that the classical world, you know, it's become kind of like the Olympics, you know, where it's sort of a matter of who makes the least number of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the opposite of creativity. So I really try to find a way to make a classical, you know, even in the more serious concert halls performances, to still bring an attitude of, hey, you know, we're going to go for it here. You know, we're going to go for something here. And, you know, if a few notes fall on the floor here or there, it's because that's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on the emotional connection with the audience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, sometimes things happen. And that's that's good, I think. Hopefully it makes for a more real connection with an audience. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with violinist and composer Tracy Silverman. Tracy, we've been talking a lot about compositional styles, about your instrument of choice, how that came about, your background, your training, all kinds of musician stuff. Talk to me just about this journey for you as Tracy.
Uh-huh.
You know, just this journey you've been on from pre-Juilliard to Juilliard,
yeah,
to taking this to being, this is your life. This is what you do. This is who you are. Just talk a bit about this journey and what it's been like for you.
Well, you know, I've been really lucky, and I count my blessings every day because I've just had the good fortune to work with amazing people like John Adams and Terry Riley, and, you know, to work intimately and collaboratively with them on creating these pieces. And I just feel like, you know, wow, how did that happen? You know, I guess I always thought when I was a kid that I would be a musician. Somehow it never occurred to me that I would be anything else. And so, you know, I've just been sort of walking down this path, and I decided at some point, you know, after Juilliard to sort of take a left turn, you know, off the classical well-worn path, much to, you know, the worry of my parents, and have always managed to make a living doing it. You know, so far, you know, I had a day job for a little while, funnily enough, as a roofer.
Nice.
So I was the fiddler on the roof, but for a summer. But since then, really haven't had to have a day job. But back in, you know, the early days, right after school, I played a lot of weddings and learned how to. In fact, I really credit all the strolling violin gigs that I used to do in the, you know, the big New York hotels, the Plaza and the Pierre, and out on Long Island, you know, at a lot of the big weddings. And it really sharpened my ear, you know. I learned how to play harmony to whatever anybody was playing, you know. And I learned a lot of repertoire that I'd never would have learned otherwise, all these old light opera, you know, classics and the French waltzes, the Italian rumbas and all that kind of stuff. I got hired a lot because I could play by ear. Mm-hmm. And that whole improvisation and that whole it really, you know, gave me the courage to go, I can make improvisation a big major part of how I work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it gave me the courage to do that, because there are a whole lot of classical players who are so afraid of that. And it's been a big part of my life now. I work with a lot of classical string players, a lot of kids and adults, to try to help them break through that little barrier, because it only takes about a half an hour to get them through the force field. Mm-hmm. And then they're like on the other side, they're like, I'm free. I can improvise, you know. You know, because that's really, I think, so much where the joy of music comes from, is when it's personal, when it's part of yours. And I also tell all my students that, you know, you have to write music if you want to interpret music. If you want to play Bach or Mozart, you have to experience what they experience, you know, how hard it is to write a beautiful short little piece.
Yeah.
When you start writing and editing, you realize what, you know, what's involved. And a guy like Bach, I mean, what an amazing improviser he must have been, because you couldn't possibly write that much music unless you could just do it pretty much at the speed you could play it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that's really important, and I just count my blessings. What a lucky life I've been able to to lead, you know, to be able to do this.
Thank you. Well, Tracy, besides and beyond music, what are some things that you got going on?
Well, I've got a family. I've got four kids, so that's the rest of my life for the most part. I talk with my kids every day. I've got two girls who are, one's in college, one's out of college. I got a boy in high school and a boy in third grade. Awesome. So, you know, I do soccer practices, basketball practices, you know, taking kids to improv class and dance classes, all that kind of stuff. You know, I travel so much that when I'm home, I just treasure the time that we have. And I love to ride a bike, you know, just a road bike. I try to get on it every day when I can.
Yeah.
Try to, you know, stay healthy.
Great. And this is back in Nashville?
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. TracySilverman.com is the name of Tracy's website, and it's spelled, well, we'll mention there's no E in Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y.
The boy spelling.
Yeah, S-I-L-V-E-R-M-A-N, TracySilverman.com. That's where you can find out more about what Tracy's up to in all regards. Thank you so much for making time to be a guest
on
Musician Spotlight.
Thank you, and to all your listeners out there, support your NPR stations. They're doing the good work.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Tracy Silverman. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, or through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Glacier Symphony for this program. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.